Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
But I wanted to see if we could get through the rest of this series that I had started on reigniting your passion for God, igniting for the first time or reigniting your passion for God. One of the great sort of anecdotal sort of observations of the Bible is how Peter, throughout his time with Jesus, was always the guy with the mouth. He was always the guy out front. I'm going to do, I can do. Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you. He was always sort of boisterous, and he's the guy who, jumped right into things. And yet he was the guy who denied Jesus, right? He was the guy with all the hot air, right? With all the bravado, with all the talk, with all, I'm the guy. And then when it came down to it, under the power of his own flesh, he crumbled, right? He denied Jesus three times, speaking about sometimes how we really know ourselves, right? The way we believe that we think we would act or we would be in the line of fire and how we really are not always the same thing. But then, it was 50 days after, on the day of Pentecost, right? 50 days after that, when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit in the upper room, this Peter who crumbled when he was at the fire and Jesus was being, Jesus was being arrested and all of that kind of thing, Peter is the one who runs out on the street after being baptized in the Holy Spirit and now has this true courage to really preach probably the best sermon. 3,000 people got saved that day. I mean, that's pretty good. That's pretty good good preaching. Yeah, that's good preaching right there. So you see that there's this, when we're talking about the passion of God, we're talking about the passion that we carry as believers, it's not just human emotion. The passion that we carry as believers is passion that's brought to us by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the power of God within. The Bible says, be being filled. I think it's 2 Corinthians says. It says, actually, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But in the Greek language, it's continuing tense. It's be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's really important because that's where your passion comes from. And that's where your courage comes from. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit's refilling, like going to a gas station and getting refilled, most of the time the Holy Spirit's refilling happens in worship. Often it happens alone in worship. Often it happens when you're by yourself in worship. When you're in a place of connecting with God by yourself is the place where you'll most consistently get infillings of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to get an infilling in a crowd, in worship or something like that. It's another thing altogether when God meets you, because it becomes so amazingly personal that that although God has proven himself to you, you really can't prove it to anyone else. All you've got is a testimony of how God visited me. It's a story of a vision I got. It's a story of a dream I had. It's a story of how God touched me in a particular situation. That's a testimony. A testimony is not what the Bible says. My testimony is how I know that God is who he says he is. And that creates a passion in me that will be the kind of passion that will stand up in front of a crowd, and no matter what the crowd thinks, you're willing to testify. Yeah? Passion. Serving Jesus requires courage. And in a culture like ours, that's a dynamic, changing, multi-ethnic, religious sort of culture, it takes even all the more courage to represent Jesus. And to do so with a delicate touch, to do so with not out of your anger, but with the kind of touch that God would use. Does that make sense? So I've based this on Mark 12, 30 and 31. This is from the Message Bible. Jesus said the first commandment in importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you have loved yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. Love the Lord your God. I know that the word love is way overused. You know, I can say I love this shirt. You know, we throw the word love around like it's this very common word. And so when we read a scripture like that, it doesn't really have the impact on us that I think it's supposed to have. When God is asking for all of our affections to be aimed toward him, to love him. And I said last week, I like the word cherish better, because cherish is a word that we don't use as much, and it frankly means more to us, because cherish is something that you value so greatly, you know, that you take super good care of it. There's a fragility, you know, in that thing that you cherish, that maybe you get a safe deposit box. Maybe you put it on a shelf in a very safe place, but you know, it almost feels delicate. And that's how love is supposed to be. I mean, it's as strong as steel, but there's something in God that you treat delicate, that is valuable, that you're willing to invest something in it, something of yourself, something of your mind, something of your heart, something of your passion. And then you say to yourself, I used to have that passion. I don't even know if I have that passion. Or I don't even think I really have what he's talking about. But I'm going to go along with this crowd because I believe this Jesus stuff, but I don't really feel all that passion. I'm telling you, you can have it. I'm telling you, it's available to you. God loves you. You know, I often give people little tours of our chapel here because I love it. And so if a visitor stops by, I'll always bring them over. And almost universally, when they come in, they look at the painting here. What do they ask me? Who, somebody said it? Who painted it? Almost universally, they say to me, who painted it? And I have to say, well, it was a guy named, I think it's Gubilleras, but this is a reproduction, and the original hangs in the Louvre Museum, and this is a reproduction by a guy who paints under Lawson, who's actually a Japanese guy who has a name nothing like Lawson. So we live in a world where we consider one another, and nobody says, who painted it? Nobody says who painted it. I look at Randall Johnson, stand up. Who painted it? Who made it? No, see, we don't say that. Look at the dimensions. How many trillion, gazillion brain connections do you have? You got more than me. But yet, we look at this and we go, wow, that's great. Who painted it? Who painted it? You're magnificent. You're magnificent. You're amazing. You function in every kind of dimension under the sun. Why do we not look at the world the way God wants us to look at the world? Who painted it? Who made it? We look at the trees, the mountains, we say, wow, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to be fall, it's going to be a terrible hurricane. Who painted it? Who made it? So the book of Job, we love Job. He's our archetype of ouch, right? Goes through 30-some-odd chapters of Job's friends telling him what he must have done wrong. And Job saying, I didn't do anything wrong. Literally, that's the whole book. You must have done this wrong because God is good and God is great and God wouldn't let you happen this happen to you unless you did something wrong. Job says, I didn't do anything wrong. In 100 ways, Job is the man with faith because he said, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know at last I will see him in the flesh. This I know, I will see him and no other. Right? So after they all get done theologizing, they're all done. And it's a lot of big talk, like we hear about God. Oh, God is awesome, God is excellent, God is great, God is powerful, God is wonderful. And God says this, after all of these guys are done talking, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Who do you think you are talking about God the way you do out of your brain, out of your common sense? Words without knowledge. You're making stuff up about him. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Bible. Because God is saying, well, I better send the Bible down there so they don't speak so often with words without knowledge. That's how we get to know the Lord, through the Word of God, so we don't speak about him with words without knowledge. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And he's talking to Job. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Imagine God coming to you and saying that. My knees are weak right now thinking about it. I'm looking for something to crawl under. Are you kidding me? The God of creation is now going to put me on the stand and interrogate me? I'm a scared. Cut it out. Stop whining. Prepare yourself like a man. And I'm going to question you, and now you're going to answer me. Hot shot. I put that in there. Hot shot's not in there. And this is what he says. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? The creator of the heavens and the earth. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I created everything. Who painted it? Who made it? I look at Mona Lisa. What do we say? Who made it? I look at Van Gogh's Starry Night. I say, who made it? I look at the heavens and the earth. And God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I made it. I made you. God loves you. You're the masterpiece. You're the fine art of God's art studio. He made you on purpose. You're loved beyond your wildest imagination. You've been lied to. You're not just another number, an IRS number. You're a magnificent specimen of God's creative power and ability. He loves you. Don't tell him otherwise. Stop speaking words without knowledge. But so is your neighbor. Every bit as valuable as you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Big shot, talking about God. Your common sense. Surely you must know. You've been blustering back and forth with these guys for 30-some-odd chapters. Surely you know. Job is shrinking. Because watch. Because God goes on and on for like two or three chapters this. Now 39. Do you know what time the wild mountain goats bears young? God's saying, I made it. Now we're up to chapter 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Finally, after it's like five chapters of God just talking about the magnificence of his creation, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer you. Listen to this. Now listen. I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Am I the only? I think maybe I'm crazy. That makes me infinitely happy. You see, we talk, and church is the business of God, so we talk a lot, and we banter back and forth about, well, I think. And you're not really going to know until you cross over. So God has given us the material that we can know ourselves, who he is. And the abhorring of ourselves is just repentance, no? So the question is, who made it? The question is, can we develop new eyes that we can see the heavens and the earth as the creation of God? That can be our perception 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that we don't get caught up in the political drivel of our day. The hatred is unbelievable. But when it comes to God, let's be reverent. Let's be reverent. Let's not be so quick to draw on what our positions are on things. Let's leave room for a bigger God. Let's see one another as God would see us, as his children, special creations of God. Because that's the church that will win the world. I just want to back that up, Revelation 4, where we've been spending some time before this. Right from the top, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. I want to tell you something. There's a door standing open in heaven. You have an opportunity to pass through that door. That door is open to you. Jesus, frankly, is the door. Did he not say, I'm the door? Jesus is the door. There are visions. There are dreams. There are prophetic happenings to be had yet for the people of God. The spiritual world is very much populated. God wants to speak to you, through you, for others through you. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking, saying, come up here and I will show you things that must take place after that. I believe that God wants you to come up here. I think God wants you to come up here. I think he wants you to set your mind on things above. start thinking about what's happening in the heavens. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and like a sardius stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne in the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the throne I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. That's why I think that relates directly to the emerald rainbow. Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. The sea of crystal, thou leadest me beside the still waters. Thou restores my soul. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in the front and the back. That means God doesn't miss a trick. That's what that means. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature like a face of a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle, and the four living creatures, each having six wings full of eyes around and within, they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So these creatures who are flying around the throne, all with six wings, they create a whirlwind. Remember, God just spoke to Job from the whirlwind? That's where the whirlwind comes from. Because out of the throne of God comes thunders and lightnings and voices. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the community of the Trinity of God. That's the singularity Trinity thing. That's like a mind blower. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." Why? Listen, why? "For you have created all things." Who made it? Who painted it? Who made it? Why do they fall down and cast their crown? Their crown is their wealth. It's their power. It's their position. It's their identity. You have a crown on right now. It's what you think of yourself. It's your ego. They cast their crowns before him, their very identity, the positive self-image. They cast it before him. They fall down and worship him. "For you have created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created." If we could stop looking at the world as a science experiment, if we could stop looking at the world as a science experiment and look at it as a special creation of God Almighty, and every person made in the image and likeness of God, every person we come across made in his image, a unique masterpiece of the living God, man, we could have a church. Man, we could have a church. Why did our forebears get thrown to the lions and take death gladly? Because they got this. Because they got this. You're a special creation of God. We're not locusts. We're not lemmings. We're not locusts. You're a special you. You're a Sistine Chapel, Mona Lisa, Starry Night. There's passion. And there's passion in it. Because once I can get my stupid crown off of my stupid head, I abhor myself, Job said, right? Therefore, I abhor myself. Get my stupid crown off of my stupid head and realize I'm just a creation of God. Bring myself down to where I belong, then I can do some good. Because my ego's not bumping against your ego. I'm not competing with you. I'm glorifying him. It becomes easy to forgive and receive forgiveness. Because I abhor myself. I know I'm a knucklehead. Right? In the world today, what we've done is we recognize how hard God's standard is to live, So we lower the standard. Everybody does it. We reinterpret the word. It's easy to do. That doesn't mean that. It meant something else in the ancient Greek. It doesn't really mean that. Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, yeah, it does. The word of God is so plain, you almost can't not understand it. That's our problem. It so smacks you between the eyes that you say it's got to mean something different because it's too hard. But God says, no, I'm going to keep this standard up there because I want to give you something to shoot for. I want you to shoot for this standard, even though you're not going to be very good at hitting the mark all the time. I want you to shoot for the mark because you're going to get better. Does that make sense to you? You're going to continue to climb the ladder. You're going to continue to get better. And one of these days, the Father's going to call, and Jesus is going to come back. And who's going to have oil in our lamps that day? Who's going to have oil? Who's going to have go juice? Who's going to have passion? Who's going to have the Holy Ghost in our lamps that day when Jesus comes back?
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a message with us today entitled, Who Made It? Pastor spoke today about the importance of who we are because we are a creation of God. When our mindset is changed to realize who we really are, that we are created by God, that God has breathed life into our lungs and has called us forth for a purpose and has filled us with our passion, that passion can fuel us, fueled by a continual fueling of the Holy Spirit in our lives for all of our days. If you've never had that experience with Jesus and have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, will you pray with me now? Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent from all my sin today, and I place my life in your hands. Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power now. Father, I thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, I would encourage you to get a Bible, find a church, and start a prayer life. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. If this word has impacted you and has encouraged you and lifted you up today, would you consider giving online at cmcconline.org? Again, you can give online at cmcconline.org. And we know that God will bless you back, pressed down, shaken together, pouring over even more as you begin to sow into this ministry. You will reap more from our Lord Jesus Christ. So once again, I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. And remember, who made it? For Pastor Bob Engelhart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.